Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
May God bless you for my prayer. Just some thoughts.
Read to you from Genesis chapter 12, if you have your Bibles and would like to follow along for just a minute. I think that you've heard the gospel preached, I'll just say that. And I think that what's on my heart may be kind of in harmony with that. I don't know if it's my age or what, but I guess the older I get, well, my long suffering gets shorter and shorter. Maybe that's the way I say it. And I'm just about sick to an untimely death of all the political discourse. Aren't you? Just about sick to death of it. And so I hesitate to tell you the title of my subject tonight, but it's Make America Great Again. I don't think Donald Trump knows how. I don't think his opponent knows how. Let me just pause to state categorically, I am both liberal and conservative. Neither Arminian nor Calvinist, nor Democrat nor Republican. May I just throw that out there so that you'll know that I'm not trying to tell you how to vote. Okay? Make America great again. I guess the first thing I'd like to say, Genesis chapter 12, the first thing I'd like to say is I believe it is possible. Do you? Do you believe it's possible that America can be great again? I hope you do. Now, to me, it is relatively obvious. Just let me say this. I really, really hope, and I think we need to vote for the best person and all that, and I'm not telling you not to vote. But I am telling you this. Whoever takes office in January, may I promise you, you are going to be disappointed. You say, well, that's so depressing. I'm just telling you realism. And may I say, if we are trusting in either of those political machines to make America great again, to say the least, our trust is misplaced. And we may even be idolatrous. Right? I do believe America can be great again. Now, I also want to say just a word about what I mean by great. I mean great in the sight of God. When I say great, I do not mean prosperous. Say amen. Amen. Prosperity doesn't make a nation great. In fact, I'm not sure but what our ridiculous prosperity is making us less great, or our dependence upon it anyway. I hope we don't trust in riches. And I hope we don't vote to get richer. I really don't. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? I cast my vote just because I think I'll get richer, that's not going to make America great again. I think it's safe to say, with the way things have been going in my life, you know, my life, if you had told me when I was 15 years old that I would ever live as comfortably as I do now, I would have told you that it would have been impossible for me to conceive it. Can anybody else kind of feel the same way about that? I mean, if you had told me when I remember not having air conditioning. Do you? I remember trying to sleep in the August heat, no air conditioning. And all the attic fan did was make me wetter. Did y'all ever?
I was there, brother.
Mike was there. And if you had told me then, this is not a slight to my parents. They did the best they could. I thank God for my parents. Everybody understand that? I mean, I'm so thankful. But I mean, you know, it's just impossible for me to consider. If you had told me when I was 14 years old that I would ever live as comfortably as I do now, it would have been impossible for me to conceive it. Now, the reason I say that is I think we can probably stop worrying about whether our children are going to have more than we do. What do you think? My son Seth will soon graduate with a degree in mechanical engineering. He is working as an apprentice for Baldor Electric in Clarksville while he finishes his last 6 hours of college. He's already making more per hour than I have ever made. Except maybe while I was teaching. I'm not a bit jealous of him. Don't misunderstand. I'm not jealous. I'm just saying, look, making America great again, for heaven's sake, the thing that needs fixing is not the economy. It's not the economy that's busted. Something else is way broke. Can America be great again? I hope you believe it can. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be a quick fix. Genesis 12. Don't forget Genesis 12. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's not going to be a quick fix. We didn't get in the mess we're in overnight. It's probably ridiculous to try to speculate when it started, but I think it's safe to say it began at least in the Second World War, if not before. The minute you say Second World War, historians know, well, the First World War led to the Second World War. I know that. But let's just say the Second World War, 1944. How long? That's been a while back. We've been getting in this mess in a long, long time, haven't we? It's been a slow, steady degeneration. And by the way, let us be warned. When we accept small departures from God's pattern, it winds up usually with larger ones. It's the small end of the wedge. I won't go anyway. So it's been a long time coming. We're not going to probably... I don't think we're going to fix it with the election coming up in November. Do you? I don't think so. I don't think... I'm just going to tell you, my friends, you and I'm 56 years old. That's unbelievable to me. 56? Harold Stumbo tells me I'm three-fourths dead. I claim I'm middle-aged. He says, you're three-fourths dead. You ever heard anybody be 112? No, sir. Yes, sir. Anyway, 56 years old. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me what's going on around me. 56 years old, I'm telling you, I may not live to see America be great again. I may not. It took Second World War, 2016, that's quite a while of degeneration. And it may take us a while to make America great again. But I say, we've got to start now. In fact, we're late. If we're not already started, we've got to start now. Genesis 12. Great in the sight of God. Great in the sight of God. Genesis 12. I'll read to you now. First four verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. God said that to Abraham when he was there. I call him Abraham. I know the Lord changed his name. But anyway, God said that to Abraham when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. Get out of your land. Amazing grace, Abraham did what the Lord said. About the best advice I've ever heard came from the mother of our Lord at the marriage of Cana in Galilee when she said to them, whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it. That's just plain and simple. And that blows my mind. They were out of wine. They ran out of wine at the marriage. Christ said, fill the water pots with water. I would have said, we're not out of water. What would you have said? I mean, you know, they're running out of water. The Lord says, fill the water, run out of wine, fill the water pots with water. Lord, wait a minute, we got water. When is it not water we need? Whatsoever he says to you, do it. Whatever the Lord says, do it. If it makes no sense to you, do it anyway. That hurts me. I want to figure things out. I want to have it all figured out. Have it all straight in my mind. Get my ducks in a row. You know, my dad told me. He said, okay, son, got to get your ducks in a row. The best thing you can do is have fewer ducks. I want my ducks in a row. So, whatever says you do it. Abraham, get up, get out of here. And I will make of thee a great nation. My friends, I want America to be a great nation again. God said to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And let me pause to say, when the Lord says, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, he's not speaking of the nation of Israel. Holy cow! He's not speaking of the nation of Israel at all. He's speaking of the promised seed that would come through the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel was a means unto an end. The nation of Israel was not the promised seed. The nation of Israel was something that typified something far greater. And through the nation of Israel, bless God and hallelujah, Messiah came. It was in the seed of Abraham that all the families of the earth would be blessed. Not the nation of Israel. Right?
Amen.
So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Y'all, God gave this promise to Abraham when he was 75 years old. How long did it take him to have his firstborn son, according to promise? He was 100 years old. When God said this to Abraham, Sarah was still barren. Amen. She was barren. And you know, I'm not even going to the long process by which that all happened. You know, the Lord appearing and saying, you're going to have a son, Sarah. And she believed it at first, and then happened again. She laughed and then, you know, gave Hagar and all that. And it's most interesting that when Abraham took that boy Isaac up on the mountain, God called him his only begotten son. Isn't that amazing? When he had another son named Ishmael the whole time. I'll let you cipher that out. Okay, I'll tell you what that means. Whom did the ram take the place of on Mount Moriah? The ram took the place of the elect promised son only. It did not take the place of Ishmael. Think typologically. Now, all of that is to say that God told Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. But here's the point. God had to make him a family first. You can't make great nations unless you have great families. Will you say amen?
Amen.
As goes the family, so goes the nation. God did not, and I'm going to, with all the reverence I have within me, say, could not make Abraham a great nation until he was a family. And I'm going to say that before we can make America great again, do you believe we can make America great again? Do you want to? We're going to have to maybe start with the family. Now, the family's in a shambles in this country, isn't it? I mean, let me pause there. Before I will say something about that, let me also say to you, y'all remember the salt of the earth principle from the story of Sodom, you know? Remember that story when God was going to destroy, and Brother Jesse Pointer told us about it, God was going to destroy those cities. And you remember, God, Abraham, had a conversation with God and said, look, what are you going to destroy all the righteous too? And then he started with the number 50. He said, if there are 50 righteous, remember that? If there are 50 righteous in that city, will you spare it? And the Lord said, yes, I will. And then Abraham whittled him down. Remember 45, 40, 30, and it got him down to 10. Remember that story? And the point of it is, if there were 10, had been 10 righteous people in that city, God would have spared the entire wicked place. I'm talking tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of people would have been spared by 10 righteous people. That's the salt of the earth principle. I want y'all to know I put more faith, more confidence, more stock, more confidence in the righteous living of the people in this room to preserve America than I do in all the politics you can stack up. Amen. Do not trust in politics. It's your righteous living that will do it. Your righteous and godly living will preserve America and make America great. Let's start right now, and it may take a while. Now, this means we have to have some cognizance of what God says about gender. Can you imagine the nonsense that is propagated about gender anymore? Let me just quote the Bible. In the beginning, God made them. Not six genders. Amen. Male and female are all the genders there are. LGBTQ. Incidentally, you wait. There'll be another letter added to that. LGBTQ. Next one will be P. You want to know what that stands for? I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Pedophilia. That'll be the next one. Well, no, come on now. Come on. If I can't help it that I'm attracted to males, why can't I also say I can't help it that I'm attracted to 10-year-olds? Why not? Right? And there'll be one after that. Okay. Two genders are all there are. If you don't know which one you are, I can tell you in 8 seconds. In 1976, a male of the species won the decathlon at the Olympics. This individual now masquerades as a woman. He is still a fully equipped male. I'm trying to be discreet. Do you believe me? The craziest thing that I may have ever heard in my life was this past Father's Day. This person's daughters that he fathered wished her Happy Father's Day. That's gross. Well, look, I know it. I agree. It's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And I'm not trying to be mean. Don't you agree we're going to have to come to some biblical understanding? I mean, I used to, of just plain old simple gender. male and female. And may I go so far as to say that in the Bible, men have roles and women have roles. Did you know men and women are different? Glory be to God. And I'm going to finally quote Doug Burnett. Supposed to quote him at Point Remove. Forgot. I'm going to quote him tonight. This whole idea that the Bible's sexist is not true. The Bible says that the price of a good woman is far above rubies and doesn't say anything about men being worth a nickel. That's what Doug Burnett says. But I do want you to know that there are roles of men and women. Sure, there are. Men and women are different. They're supposed to be different. God made them different on purpose. And they're supposed to complement each other. And it takes to have a godly home, to have the optimum home, it takes a mama and a daddy. To be the optimum now, I know it can be done, one. I know it can be done. I'm talking about to be the optimum. This is how we'll make America great again. This is how. This is the only way, is to get serious about these things. And I'm also going to, I think of something else I'll just share with you that I don't know why I'm thinking about this. And that is for us, for the churches to continue to preach. If we're going to make America great again, I tell you where it's going to start. And we were talking at lunch, and I was enjoying talking to Brother Sonny too, because I am also convinced, as he is, that there's going to come a day when people are going to get sick and tired of the shenanigans in the religious world, and they're going to want some Bible truth, and I hope we're ready to show it to them.
Amen. Bring
it on. I mean it with all my heart. That is also what it'll take to make America great again. I hope Donaldson Church will ever stand on the King James Version of the Bible. I hope they'll always be preaching the fundamentals of salvation by grace and also how we're supposed to live as a result of the fact that God has given us eternal life.
Amen.
I hope we'll ever stand on it. And we need to be preaching without shame the moral code of Almighty God.
Amen.
And telling God's people that the reason God tells you how to live is because He loves you so much. God is not trying to make us miserable and cramp our style. Oh, me, oh, my. Oh, okay. I think I'm just going to close with a little illustration that I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings either. Y'all, I'm telling you, making America great is up to us. It's up to you. Y'all, you say, well, I can't accomplish much. I'm just one little old me. Remember what Jesse said. Don't stop praying. You don't know, but what your prayer is the one that saves the nation. Did you hear what Jesse said a minute ago? Wasn't that great when he said that? You cannot imagine, you cannot imagine the influence your godly righteous living has with Almighty God. And so many of us, and sometimes I think we know too much about what's going on in the world. There's a verse in Proverbs that says we're not supposed to have our eyes on the ends of the earth. Sometimes I think we know it too much because some of that's just overwhelming. And we get to where we think we don't have any influence. We can't accomplish anything. And I'm telling you right now, the number one thing you can do is be a good husband or a good wife, a good father and a good mother, or a good son and daughter. That's a good place to start to make America great. Be a good, faithful church member.
Amen.
Don't miss church. Don't just miss church. Don't just skip it. Now, if you're sick, okay. It's kind of like this choir professor I had that said, you know, I'll let you miss the performance in case of a death. You're on. Church attendance is far more important than we want to make it out to be. When you're not in church, there is something missing. And no one can fill your place except you. No one. How important is it? Okay, did you know it takes 6 months, 6 months of attendance at church, 6 months, 6 months, never missing, never late, 6 months of church attendance to have put in one full work week, 40 hours in worship. If you attend faithfully for 30 years, are you listening? Aren't y'all wonderful? Did y'all know you're a great congregation? You want to know one reason why I like to come down here to Donaldson? Well, I love your pastor. I love Jesse. I love getting to hang around down here. But the main reason I like to come here is you're so good to preach to. You ought to try preaching to graven images sometime. Just try it. See, y'all are smiling. If you're not enjoying it, you're fooling me, which is good, I guess. If you attend church faithfully for 30 years, never miss, never late, you will have spent less than 14 weeks in worship while spending 520 weeks asleep. Anyway. And we take it for granted, don't we? And have you ever wondered, I went to a Razorback game. I didn't share this at home, I'll share it here. I went to a Razorback game last Saturday. We left the house at 10:30, got home 10:30 at night. Drove all the way to Fayetteville, sat in the middle of 70,000 screaming in maniacs. Woo pig. And I'll say to you, like I say to Brother Harold, you can worship a hog on the hoof all you want. I prefer mine slaughtered and cooked in a hickory pit. 70,000. And all these people going to all this trouble, sitting in traffic. I didn't like that. Do you know how much traffic that was? 70,000 people, the traffic going up, going back, and all the expense and all the money and all the time to sit and watch Razorbacks play football. 70,000 people. And I asked James Staten, I said, when are they going to let me preach? Isn't it interesting how we'll go to that much trouble for a Razorback game? But we can't get to church at 10:30. Something wrong with that picture. You want to make America great again? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Okay, now I'm going to close out with something that's been weighing heavy on me. Making America great again is just going to be us doing right. You don't have to make a big deal about it. You don't have to have a conference. I hope you're not sitting here thinking, well, we need to have a conference. We need to have a conference, and we need to set up, appoint a committee, the Make America Great Committee. I hope you're not thinking that. I want to close with a little bit of Primitive Baptist history. In the year 1900, some well-meaning men met in Fulton, Kentucky to have a peace meeting. It didn't work. It didn't work. In 1937, they had another one. The one in 1900 didn't work. Fussing and fighting and carrying on. Bars of fellowship. First one thing and another. Y'all ever heard of that? 1937, they had another one in Nashville, Tennessee. That didn't work either. Had another in 1950. All these peace meetings. After the meeting in 1950, I cannot imagine the destruction that took place in the decades of the 1950s and the 60s and 70s, all the bars of fellowship and the split and the fragmentation of the churches. And, you know, he preached with so-and-so, and on and on and on. Y'all remember all that? You know what it takes to have peace? Quit fighting. Just live peaceably. You don't have to have a big powwow. You don't have to have a big meeting. You know what it takes to make America great? Just me and you doing what's right. I really, really appreciate your great attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.